listener-supported Christian radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, Palm City.
Also, it sways and bends. It's flexible in the mighty storms. It's not broken because it's flexible. And it bears more fruit latter in its life rather than former life. Which so this is why the palm tree is so revered.
Right.
But what I wonder about a guy like you is I see a lot of arrogance I have throughout the years. I've been very disappointed in pastors, evangelists, you know. And we all know, you know, I'm like you said, I'm not here to judge anybody else's servant. God gets to do what he wants to do. And, you know, who knows? Maybe God did want this one guy to collect $50 million so he could buy a super jet. I don't know. I just don't trust it. And David clearly said, cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. What what I said to David after not having seen you for 30 years is I said, I like this guy, you, Charlie. I said, because at this men's retreat we went to this summer, I said, because you seem to carry a humility. You don't seem to have, it's not about you. You're not making it about you. It's about being in service to everybody around you. Where did you get that from? How did you... was there some incident in life, or do some people just born with more humility than the next guy or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I can't say I'm that humble because if you play basketball against me, I always talk trash. the congregation laughs about it. I'm very competitive. I guess it's like this. A little bit of me, great big God. And Paul said, as I decrease, may he increase. So if we increase ourselves, we're really decreasing in the area of spirituality and the great big God in us. You know, I want to keep that in mind because I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong, stronger than I ever did. And you know, like what you're saying, you know, some of them great big churches that maybe, you know, that have the ability to buy a jet. Well, they have an ability to take a city area like Houston or Albany or Buffalo, and in one offering, you could take an offering and buy three foster homes, and you could take people that have that heart to really foster and love on children, and you radically just affected the foster system. And if we could get churches to catch that vision and to say, wait a second, we can build an apartment complex for the elderly. We don't need these companies that are profiting all this money. A woman, and we just put a woman in a home where an apartment complex geared for the elderly, which they have a pool in there, they have a library and nice apartment, but they're asking three times as much for that apartment for this lady just to have them conveniences. And we got her in there because it is a lot easier for her, but. Why can't the church own that and not charge her three times as much, but just really make it possible? And we can. Our building that we bought, you know, so you're generating $34,000 a month, okay? That $34,000 can go into. So we've lacked in the area of business. So you look at all these churches, okay? Why is your youth group washing cars to collect money to go on their mission trip? You've got 500 people in your church. Why don't you teach them kids to come on a Thursday night? Let's begin to intercede and pray for our mission trip and have the finances when we go, and the church is going to underwrite that. You know, we think we've thought so little and we continue in that vein, and then the real work that we're supposed to be doing is you know, the probably the smallest budget in most churches is their outreach budget, and that's a shame. It shouldn't be. That's why some neighbors don't even know what your church is all about. And so my whole heart is to say, I can speak into your life, pastor, to help you maybe do something more dynamic, maybe do something out of the box.
This is great. I think you should have like a seminar or a weekend where you invite in pastors from around the country to come in. I mean, I got to be honest with you. When you were first talking, I thought, I'm going to fly up to Albany and hang out with you for a week because what it is, I recognize your gift, this gift. If we could duplicate your ability to look at it from Yeah. And you've got all these ideas which can help people, pastors or those, forget about pastors, just like I've always wanted to feed the hungry in this town. And, you know, I just had a birthday. I didn't have a birthday party at all this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but my dream is, and I'm a big blabbermouth, I'm a talker, but not enough of a doer. I said, my dream is I want to have, I've had the privilege of being poor. When I was in Albany, I never lived there. I never got to go to the famous French restaurant. I never got to go hang out with the wealthy. Now, I came to Florida, and I was given abundance, and I got to eat a lot of white linen, and it shows on my body. But the point is, now what I want to do is, I can't figure it out because I haven't got that kind of ability to put stuff together, but you do. Is I want to have a white linen dinner, and I want to invite people that have, well, maybe like you said, that when you were a kid and you were at that house, oh, my God, and the neighbor says, we're going to give you steak for dinner. And you said, well, I don't know what steak is. And they called your mother and said, what is a steak? And, you know, there's people out there, they've never known what it's like to sit down to a white linen meal, and I want to serve them. Right. Because Jesus said, give to those who can't repay you, you know. People want to have big parties for – they want to make, you know, connections among the lumberjacks, contacts among the lumberjacks, as Bob Dylan would say, and climb this – some ladder somewhere, which is a fake ladder, instead of – you know what I'm saying anyway. But I think we got to find a way. If I can be instrumental in any way, we need to have a weekend seminar or you have the school for people who want to do for others and how to execute that.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, you know, because I really believe that we send missionaries all around the world. But here's on First Street, these people need Jesus so bad. And here's the church all around First Street. There's 10 churches, yet no one's adopting that block. No one's really saying, I'm going to go see what the greatest needs are. I had a woman call me and she said, I know four kids that are living like in a garbage dump and the mom is so messed up and I don't know what to do. I've called places. No one's done anything. So I said, okay, I'm going to go down there. And I went down there and seen firsthand rats living with these little girls, four little girls. So I immediately, we got them children out of that house that day, you know, and you know, we have to act. We have to act. You know, we can't just stand by. And them four little girls were adopted by this wonderful businesswoman that today, them kids are just so blessed.
What's bright red? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I did a little technical thing. I was worried that I hadn't done something. I want to make sure that we're not only doing this live, but it's being recorded. Go ahead.
So action, you know, action, you know. And we always hear that speaks louder than words. There's things that we can do. It's out of the box, but we can do them. You know, and my thing is a missionaries to America. Listen, you know, like I said, when the earthquake hit Haiti, all right, we're in our Albany church, maybe got 90 members, maybe 80, 90 members.
Yeah.
The earthquake hits Haiti. I'm really more of a missionary to America, and I support nations. We do that. I support orphans in Ghana, Uganda, all these. I've done that. But when this hit, this for some reason, it hit a vein, and the Holy Spirit said, go. And I was trying to get a plane to go there, so I couldn't. But at that week, at about probably a week, and it was interesting because God set this up. One of the local TV stations said, we want to send someone with you. We want to send someone with you.
Really?
And they said,
a
cameraman and their leading newscaster.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, all right. Well, they had to meet with us to make sure. I picked four guys to go with me, guys that were really strong, guys that one guy came out of 6 years of prison, so he knew the score on a lot of stuff. Actually, he was a drug courier, so I took down $8,000 to help the orphans down there, and he carried the money because you can't really carry money, that much money. And so we set up a team. They sent this team, Jessica. She was like one of the main newscaster. Yeah. Anyways, they send this team down there. We go down there. We're with this pastor. We drove and seen nine orphanages, And then he showed us on from Port-au-Prince on the other side. Port-au-Prince was really wrecked by this. And we drove across the little nation, 6-hour drive one day, and went on to the other side of Port-au-Prince. He showed me some land that was given to him. This pastor didn't have a lot of money, and he was feeding all these orphans, over 1,000 orphans every day. And at the end of the week, he said to me, and he had an interpreter because he didn't speak English, but his nephew spoke English, went to a Bible college here in the States. He said, my father would like to know what do you think he should do? And I said, well, this is what I would do if I was him. I would not go down to the port like everybody else is going down trying to get food, and there's no food, there's food, there's no food. I said, that's good. Do that as much as you have to. But I would create my own businesses to support these orphanages. And I said, this is what I'll do. I'll come back in 6 months. I'll bring a shipping container. And that land down in Port Salut where there's fish, there's not a lot of fish in Port-au-Prince because they fish it out. But in Port Salut on the other side, I said, I'll send 2 boats. Motors, brand new Zodiac boats, brand new motors, brand new fishing nets. We'll bring the container. We'll build the container out here so we have a fish market, an internet cafe, because that was huge. People really wanted that. And then motorcycles, brand new motorcycles. And we sent in a tire machine and a beauty salon equipment. And in 6 months, it was over $130,000 worth of brand new stuff. We put it in the shipping container 6 months, and God, miraculously, I had no money to do this, no money. And I gave him that $8,000 to feed the orphans. Came back to America, and I was like, I had a mortgage on the church building. We didn't have any money. I got to collect $120,000. You know, where God guides, he always provides. That first day I got back, some young girl, out of nowhere, came up and said, I don't know, God told me to give you this $10,000. Then we get nominated on a national contest, okay? And we're a finalist in a national contest. First prize is $10,000, okay?
Contest for what?
It's a national contest for feeding kids. Someone put us in for doing our feeding program in the city. And this is a national contest.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Sovereignty is so